Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Murder in Waiting by Lynn Cahoon. Narrated by Susan Boyce. Homer, here's your piece of heaven at the beach. May you live forever on these pages. Chapter 1. Event planning is a talent that not everyone has in their DNA. No matter what they teach you in high school, it turns out not everyone can do everything. My home economics teacher had a section in our senior family living class on wedding planning. I would have been better at looking up airline tickets to Vegas. But no, you had to pick out your perfect dress, set up a caterer, list out your menu, find a venue for both the wedding, which should be religion appropriate for you and your future husband, and the reception. She let us go wild. Whatever we wanted, we got. Then we had to set a budget. And she'd tricked us early on by asking what the future version of ourselves and our imaginary husband did for a living. So the budget was based on the average salaries for those careers, which she set for you, using some charts she'd found on the internet. I'd always known that I wanted to be a lawyer. I had one path set for my life. Go to college, get into a law school, get my degree, accept one of many offers for employment, work and establish myself for 5 years, then I'd get married and have 2 kids, a boy and a girl, in that order. We'd live outside of San Francisco and have a nanny, and maybe an old English sheepdog, just to make the family picture perfect. And since I'd chosen a high-income lifestyle for me and my imaginary groom, my wedding planning came in under budget. In reality, I don't live outside of the city. I live in an old cottage by the sea that I inherited from my friend when she was murdered. Her choices for heirs during her will planning were either me or the money-grubbing nephew. I'm nicer. I'm Jill Gardner, and I was an attorney in the city. But instead of that being my dream job, it turned into a nightmare. And I hit the glass ceiling as soon as I decided my specialty would be family law. After a week-long vacation here in South Cove that included a lot of iced tea and conversation with Miss Emily, my friend who later left me my house, I quit my first dream job. And then I bought a bookstore/coffee shop here in South Cove. That was almost 10 years ago, and I've never regretted changing dreams or careers. But my hatred of event planning has continued, and I was getting pushed to the edge by my best friend's wedding mania. Today's business-to-business meeting speaker was only adding to the whirl in my head. Amy had talked a local wedding planner into coming to talk to the local businesses about setting up South Cove as the perfect destination wedding stop. A topic the bed and breakfast and venue owners were loving. I, on the other hand, was bored out of my gourd. Of course, not all speakers were going to speak directly to every member of our group of business owners, but it seemed like everyone except me was finding tidbits of gold to take back for their marketing dollars. All I was seeing was carafe after carafe of free coffee getting snatched up by our group. Deke Kerr was on the clock as our barista for the morning. He sat back behind the counter watching for empty carafes or cookie plates. I'd set out a batch of cookies and gave Amy the invoice to charge the refreshments to the council budget. But when Deke held up an empty plate, I shook my head. If they'd already gone through 5 dozen, it was time to cut the high. We had to be responsible sugar dealers. He nodded and set the empty plate in the sink to wash later. Then he went back to reading The Hero's Journey. My full-time student, part-time barista, was writing his first book. If it was as good as I thought it might be, I might be looking for a new staff member sooner rather than later. Amy pointed to a note she'd written in pink sparkle ink. I picked it up and tried to decipher her handwriting. Reading it quietly aloud, I stared at her. "Gunt Toddy?" Amy shook her head. She leaned close and whispered, "Lunch today, silly. Sounds good. if we can ever get out of here. I leaned closer. I didn't really need to know all about the wondrous world of Toole.
You need to pay attention. Greg's going to slip that ring on your finger before you know it. Then who's going to plan your event?
Amy looked floored that I was even considering not taking copious notes on the lecture.
You, Aunt Jackie, this woman I don't know who's talking to us. There are some things I don't need to know.
I sighed as Amy pointed to the speaker and pushed some loose pink paper in front of me. I guessed I wasn't getting out of the discussion as quickly as I'd hoped. I gave Deke one last desperate glance in the hope that he might need me for something. But when he ignored my unspoken cry for help, I settled down and tried to write down the highlights of the talk. When we finally met at Diamond Lily's around noon, my stomach was growling and my mood even lower, probably because I was starving.
What took you so long? The meeting's been over for close to an hour.
I waved away Amy's question and took the glass of tea that our waitress had poured as soon as she'd seen me walk into the diner. What can I say? She knows me.
You're the best, Carrie.
You're just more predictable than most. Shrimp basket with fries for you and a double cheeseburger, medium fries, and a vanilla milkshake for Amy, right?
We nodded. I used to be amazed at Carrie's ability to read our minds until I wrote down what I ate each day at the diner and realized I did eat the same thing, time after time. I knew what I liked, and I didn't like change. I'd made ordering lunch easy. Amy still thought it was odd, and she shook her head as Carrie left.
I know you say it's just being a good waitress, but man, sometimes she's creepy good in guessing what I want to eat.
I decided to change the subject rather than get into a discussion of statistics and probabilities.
So why lunch on a Tuesday? Usually you're too busy with city council stuff to get away. I wanted to talk to you about the upcoming trip next weekend. You're ready, right? And Greg's still coming. Justin's friends are all bailing on him except for his best man. And he's being cagey about the trip. Who says no to a paid trip to Vegas?
Amy sipped her iced tea, then pulled out a small book covered with a bird binding. It had a latch, like a journal or a diary. She opened the book and glanced through a few pages.
Anyway, I was wondering if I should bring the napkin runners to work on while we're there. It wouldn't take more than a day to get them all done.
Wait. You want us to sit in a hotel room and glue rhinestones on a napkin holder while we're in Vegas? Are you crazy? Amy looked up at my face, started to say something, then changed her mind. She focused on writing something in the notebook.
Okay, then. No arts and crafts during the bachelorette party.
Carrie set our food on the table and, after overhearing Amy's statement, laughed.
I had such a good time at my last bachelorette party. We went to a cowboy bar and wore pink cowboy hats, and I rode the mechanical bull. Of course, that was a few years ago, when I married my last husband. If I did that now, I'd break a hip.
A cowboy bar might be fun.
I picked up a fry and pointed it at Amy. You like animals?
I do. And that's why I don't attend rodeos. I hate the way they treat them.
Amy shook her head.
No cowboy bars. But I'll figure something out. We will have fun.
Just not too much fun. Remember that you invited Aunt Jackie and Harold. I'd hate to see them fall off a bull.
Amy picked up her hamburger and took a bite. She glanced at the notebook. And all of a sudden, I knew what she'd had planned.
You were going to have us finish the decorations for your wedding. At your party.
I shook my head.
The parties I've been to have all been about the bride getting drunk, not getting things done.
Have you ever been to one?
Of course I have. I just thought that this might be more fun. We could order in room service and watch movies on television, and it wouldn't be all weekend. I'm sure we could get everything done in 10 to 15 hours max.
I took a deep breath. I was going to regret this, but it had to be done. I'm the maid of honor. I'll plan the party. Just be ready to have fun.
But what are you going to do?
Amy demanded. I shrugged, dipping a shrimp into the cocktail sauce. It's going to be a surprise. And it was going to be a surprise, even to me. And that is how I ended up in charge of a wedding-related event after I'd messed up my own fake wedding in high school. Walking home, I kicked myself for opening my mouth. Arts and crafts wouldn't have been that bad of an activity, as long as I didn't have to use a glue gun. Those things hate me. When I got home, I pulled the mail out of the box and flipped through it as I paused at the front door. I guess it was just the right time of the year, but my mail was filled with wedding flyers, along with the multiple credit card offers. I flipped through the mail, separating it into two piles, throw away and take a peek at. The peak ones were bills. I put those on the kitchen table and threw the others in the recycling. I opened my laptop and Googled Vegas bachelorette parties. Some of the choices made me blush. Others made my pocketbook run and hide. Seriously, why had Amy thought having the party in Vegas was a good idea? She was a beach girl. She liked sand and surfing and bonfires. All things I could have set up just down the road with no problem at all. I sighed as I pulled out a notebook and started making a list. I'd write down the ones I liked, the ones I loved, and the ones that weren't bad. Then I'd rank them in terms of practicality and costs. When I'd said I'd plan the party, did that mean I'd pay for it as well? I'd have to Google that, too. Maybe it was a requirement of being a maid of honor. The dress had already set me back more than a few dollars. Now I needed to pay for fun and games for everyone. Maybe my aunt would know. I glanced at the clock and picked up the phone.
Coffee, books, and more, may I help you?
My aunt had on her customer voice. Friendly, easy to talk to, and approachable.
Hey, it's me.
A barely audible sigh came over the line.
What do you want, Jill? The store can get by without you checking in every hour, you know, right?
I'm not checking in. I called to see what you knew about bachelorette parties. Does the maid of honor have to pay for it?
I take it Amy talked you into handling the event?
My aunt spoke to a customer about a children's book. I waited until she finished.
No, I mean, yeah, I'm handling it, but it was my idea.
I had a bad feeling about this. My aunt laughed, a mix between a tinkle and a snort.
She told me she was going to get you to handle it this morning. I didn't think you actually had a choice in the matter. Amy can be pretty persuasive.
Pretty tricky, if you ask me.
I sighed. I hadn't even seen the trap my friend had laid.
So, do you know if I have to pay for it?
No, you don't. Ask Amy what your budget is. That way, you're both on the same page, and you don't get stuck with the stuff she didn't want you to order. But you should offer to chip in some money, just because you're friends.
My aunt spoke to another customer.
Look, I've got to go. I'll leave you a package under the counter. Open it tomorrow as soon as you get here.
What is it? Did you get me a kitten?
Now the laugh was more relaxed, lighter.
Not even. Besides, Emma would have a fit. She'd be jealous. I've got to go. I've got a line of people waiting for me.
I kind of doubted that, but I hung up the phone. Tomorrow I'd worry about the party, and I'd stop by City Hall at lunch to see what Amy had in mind and what her budget was. It only seemed fair. I glanced at my golden retriever, who was sitting by the door watching me. She probably wanted, no, needed, to go for a run, and I was too good of a pet owner to squash her dreams. Greg would be home soon, and we'd be grilling pork chops and corn for dinner. We tried to eat together during the week most days, because if he was going to get called out, it would probably be on a weekend. We'd been living together now over a year, and it was good. We were good. I knew it was time to consider the next step, but he hadn't asked, and I hadn't hinted. I liked our life exactly the way it was, for now. I hoped Greg did, too. I ran upstairs to change for the run. The pile of bills could wait. When we got to the beach, I questioned Amy's Vegas choice again,
and cursed myself for offering to plan the party. What was I thinking? The beach was empty, so I unsnapped Emma's leash and shoved it in my pocket. Then we started running. The best thing about running on the beach was getting out of my head. I worried a lot. I worried about the store, about my aunt, about Greg when he was on a case, about us as a couple when he wasn't. You could describe me as a serial worrier, or maybe slap a label on me like OCD. It wasn't like I checked the light switch 3 times before I went out of a room, but I did think about what part of my routine I'd missed when I'd left the house. Today, Amy's party was my focus. I didn't have a plan, and I loved a plan. I made plans for everything, including the shop's future goals and any upcoming trips Greg and I were taking, even just for the weekend. So, first step, who had she invited? I knew my aunt and Mary and probably Darla, but what about Esmeralda? What about Tina, her boss's wife? I'd call Amy as soon as I got home. I'd pull out a notebook and get this party started. Well, the planning part of it anyway. I was so lost in my planning that I hadn't noticed the stranger walking toward me. Emma's bark drew me out of my thinking mood, and I paused next to her watching the man move toward us. He was dressed in plaid shorts and a crew-neck T-shirt. His salt-and-pepper hair was cut short, yet long enough to blow around a bit with the breeze. He waved and smiled at me, and with the action, just above his chiseled, cut jaw, 2 dimples appeared. Well, wasn't he just a cutie pie? When he was within earshot, I nodded. Sorry about having her off the leash. I thought we were alone out here. He put his arms out to soak in the beauty of the day. I bet you get a lot of days out here without any tourists ruining your run. She didn't bother me at all. Emma sniffed the man's hand. Then her tail started wagging. In dog terms, that meant the man wasn't a serial killer. Or, at least, he hadn't killed anyone lately that Emma could discern. My dog tended to like most people, so I didn't totally trust her judgment on new arrivals. Glad to know. You staying in town?
Yes. I have a room for at least a week at the South Cove Bed and Breakfast. Lovely place, although the room is a bit fluffy for my tastes. Unfortunately, I don't have a missus to enjoy the decor.
The smile came out again. I wondered if I was being hit on. It happened so rarely since I was living with the South Cove police detective. No one wanted to challenge Greg. I decided to move this conversation along and finish my run. We'll have a nice stay in South Cove. I run the bookstore coffee house downtown, so if you're in need of some reading material, I can hook you up.
I brought a bunch with me, but if I run out, I'll stop by. Actually, I'm here to write a story about you, Jill Gardner. Well, actually, about your house.
His words made me freeze. He must have seen the concern in my eyes when I heard him call me by name. He reached into his pocket and pulled out a business card. I'd been expecting a gun, or maybe a knife. I took it, not liking the way my hand was shaking. I looked down at the information and almost laughed. You're an author?
I write those travel books everyone buys. The local charm books. I'm working on a series of historical places not on any register, and your house and the Mission Wall came up during one of my interviews.
He held out a hand.
Mike Masters. That's my real name. I write under several different pen names, and of course I ghostwrite for a lot of other name authors when I have time in my schedule. But I love writing these history books. I think so much is being destroyed without us ever knowing what our past could tell us.
I put the card in my pocket and watched him. The man seemed honest enough. You said someone told you about the Mission Wall. Was it Frank Gleason?
No. That guy is as tight with information as Fort Knox. He thinks everything he works on is confidential. But it was someone in his office. I can't tell you their name because I don't want to get her in trouble.
but it was a woman. I took stock of the man in front of me. He probably did really well at signings. He was good-looking and personable. He rubbed the side of his face with his hand and grimaced.
"I'm really not good at keeping secrets. I'd make a terrible spy. But don't make me tell you. I'd feel horrible if she got fired or something because of the stupid rules."
I wanted to say that sometimes rules weren't stupid, and that I didn't want people coming by the house to find the rumored hidden treasure. Mostly because what treasure there had been, I'd already found. "Look, I appreciate your honesty, but let me be up front, too. I don't want to talk to you. I don't want the mission wall to be in a travel guide. And I don't want you in my life anymore. Thanks for asking, but the answer is no." As I started to walk away, he called after me.
"Keep the card, and think about it. You might change your mind."
I didn't think that was possible, but I needed to warn Greg that Mike, the writer, was in town and wanted to interview us for this book. Even though Greg didn't actually own my house, he'd be shown as the owner or friend of the owner. No, it was better for us to have a united front from the first day of this. United front. I kind of liked the idea. Emma and I finished our run and headed back to the house to get some things done before dinner. Normal, everyday, couple-type things. I'd like our lives to be boring for a few weeks, or even months. A girl could hope, right? Chapter 2 Greg grabbed the pile of mail I'd left on the kitchen table and did his own sort. I paid the bills for the house, and he sent me his share every payday. We also had a couple's travel account that we put extra money in when it came. Right now, we were saving for an Alaskan cruise. My aunt had made noises about wanting to go with us, but I was hoping to keep it just a couple thing. As soon as she asked Greg, though, I knew it would be a done deal. The man may fight criminals for his day job, but he was no match for my aunt when she wanted something.
"Did you see this letter from the Heritage Society?"
He held up the business-sized envelope. I stopped chopping veggies for a salad and reached out for the envelope. "Let me have it." Greg handed it over and I put it up to my head. "I see the following. Dear Ms. Gardner, the Commission is significantly behind in our historic site evaluation and processing backlog. Please be sure that we are doing everything possible to complete your evaluation as soon as possible due to funding limitations. We will be in touch again in 6 months to let you know the status of your application. Feel free to contact us directly with any questions. Yours in magic, Matilda Parker."
Almost a nice Potter reference. But I don't believe her last name was Parker. That was Spider-Man. Greg snatched the letter from the spot on the table where I'd tossed it after my show.
I don't know why I even let anyone talk me into this. The decision takes so long.
I went back to chopping the cabbage for the salad. "Because you're a good citizen. And if there is proof that the wall in your backyard is part of South Cove's history, you'd move heaven and earth to save it." He opened the letter himself. "I hate to say it, but your psychic powers are way off the map."
"What do you mean?"
I didn't even turn around. It was probably a letter stating the commission was moving or something. "The society has issued a decision on the application." I turned, my chef knife still in hand.
"And?"
"I'm sorry, Jill. They said they don't have the funding to approve the site." He kept reading.
"Weird, though. They don't say if it was a historic site or not, just that they don't have the money to chase it this year. They spent 4 years on hold just to tell me the funding is low?"
I put the chopped cabbage in a bowl. "What a waste of tax dollars. It says you can reapply next year if you want." Greg set the letter down and came behind me and wrapped his arms around me.
"Are you okay?"
"I'm fine." "It was stupid anyway." I felt tears on my cheeks.
"I don't mind, except for Miss Emily. If this land is actually a historic site, it should be protected.
We could just do it ourselves.
He kissed the back of my neck. Maybe get some press on the issue? I groaned, thinking of the writer I'd just blown off at the beach.
Speaking of media, there's a writer who's going to try to get an interview with me or you about the wall.
I was thinking our answer should be no comment.
But now that the Heritage Society has bailed, maybe we should think about talking to him. What do you think?
I think I'm not getting my barbecue party patio. He glanced out the window to the backyard. It's too bad, too. The spot could have been perfect for private evening dinners and a little canoodling. I started to laugh.
Did you really just say canoodling?
He gently bit my neck and then let me go. What can I say? I've been hanging out with Harold too much these last few months. Are they still coming for dinner Sunday night? I finished the salad and cleaned up the sink. As far as I know, Aunt Jackie's been busy with inventory, and her shift has really picked up since the chain bookstore in Bakerstown shut down. I hate seeing any bookstore close, but we are gaining a lot of business, especially the online orders. Deke's new platform has paid for itself the first quarter out. I may have to give that kid a raise.
Greg's phone buzzed. He picked it up and looked at the text.
Sorry, I've got to go. You go ahead and eat. I'll grill something when I get home.
Something wrong?
Toby Killian, Greg's part-time deputy, and my part-time barista, as well as the guy who rented out the shed-turned-apartment in the backyard, didn't usually bother Greg at night, unless it was important. Like, a murder serious. And we'd had more than our share of those in the last few years for such a little town. Greg smiled.
Kind of.
At least, it's serious to a sea lion.
Excuse me?
I put wrap over the salad and put it in the fridge. I wasn't that hungry, and if I waited a few hours, we might still be able to have dinner together.
You'll see it on the news. Toby says there's already a television crew out there. Look, I've got to go save a wandering sea creature. And you say my job's boring.
He kissed me as he grabbed his keys and left the house.
At least it's not a dead body,
I told Emma as she was watching him leave through the back door. She barked a response that could have meant she agreed with me, but probably meant, where's my favorite guy going? I grabbed a bottle of water and went over to the table to work on Amy's party again. I would figure this out before Greg got back, send an email to Amy for approval, and make the reservations. I'd planned two weddings, my fake one, and the one for my failed marriage. I could plan one little party for a few women. I opened my notebook and made a list of the things I knew and the things I didn't. The list of didn't-knows was way longer. I sent an email to Amy with my questions, then started sorting through options. I still hadn't heard from Amy, and my head was pounding by the time Greg came home. He came in through the kitchen door and stopped short when he saw me.
I thought you would have been in bed by now.
I closed the laptop and put the notebook on top of it.
Nope.
Project Bachelorette Party is kicking my butt. Do you know how many options there are for a female-themed party in Vegas? If we were all 20-somethings, I would have been done by now. But I know my aunt's coming, so our ages range from 20-something to Aunt Jackie. That's hard to plan for. He got out the pork chops and frowned when he saw two still on the plate.
And you didn't eat.
I forgot. And now I have a headache to prove it. I stood and grabbed the salad and French bread, slicing off a bit. I spread peanut butter on it and started eating. I was starving.
So tell me about the sea lion.
He glanced at his watch. Let me put these on the grill, and you turn on the television. Channel 7 will have the story. I'll fill you in while the meat cooks. I opened the fridge and grabbed two bottles of beer. You want one?
I do.
He grabbed the chops and the tongs and headed out the door. I'll be right back in. We had a small television mounted on the kitchen wall now, Greg's idea.
When I was home alone, most of the televisions stayed off unless I was watching a movie or a cooking show, or if I just wanted some noise in the house. Greg, on the other hand.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?